Sisters and brothers, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator and Companion, who calls us in the power of the Holy Spirit and makes us the body of Christ. As we gather on this night to hear the commandment of Jesus that gives this evening its name, Maundy, meaning commandment, to love one another as Christ has loved us. Christ, our teacher and our healer, you call us to your table to celebrate our freedom in God. Christ, our Savior and our Lord, you call us to be close to you in prayer. Christ, our servant and our victim, you call us to follow you in humility. Amen.
reading from Isaiah. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A brood reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Let's pray together. Gentle Christ, in humble service, you renounce the power, comfort, and status. You do not cry out. You will not quench even a dimly burning wick. You call us to be light for the nations, to open blind eyes and release imprisoned souls. We pray for all whom we think are beneath us. Gentle Christ, you establish justice in all the earth.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Suffering Christ, you humble yourself to death, even to the shame of the cross. You lovingly serve even those who harm you. Your tender love is more powerful than all our evil. Amen.
I invite you, as the plates are passed, whether or not you have a thing to put in the plate, to imagine giving yourself wholly to God as deeply and as lovingly as Jesus gave himself to his disciples. Gracious God, remembering Jesus' perfect gift for us, we pray for your will in our lives and in all the world, as Jesus taught us to pray, asking you always to teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In this bread, the Passover of God, the promise that death has no dominion over us. In this cup poured out, the love of God, so self-giving as to die for us, so humble as to serve us, never ending. This is the feast of the love of God. Come, the table is ready. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ keep you, guide you, and strengthen you now to eternal life. Imagine what it might have been like on that night to sit at this table. Imagine what it might have been like for Jesus. He knew what he was doing would get him killed. Not because he had some special foreknowledge of the future, but simply because he could see what was going on. And he knew that these friends that he gathered around the table would fail him. They would chicken out. They would throw him under the bus. And what did he do? He invited them to his table. What do you suppose it was like? For Jesus to look at Peter and to know that Peter would deny him. Peter would hang him out to dry. And what did Jesus do? Jesus gave himself to Peter. He said, "This is my body. You can have all of me." Imagine what it was like knowing perfectly well that Judas would betray him. Not because he knew the future, but because he knew Judas. He could see what was going on. He knew what was coming next. And what did he do? He invited Judas to sit right next to him in the place of honor, dipping their bread into the bowl together. The place of honor. Judas, come sit here. Because I love you. Imagine knowing and still choosing that love. Because it didn't matter if Peter would be there for Jesus. Jesus would still be there for Peter. It did not matter if Judas would be there for Jesus or not. Jesus would be there for Judas. Because he loved him. Imagine what it would be like to treat these people with such honor, such love, worthiness of Jesus' most precious gift, knowing how broken they were. That is the miracle of this table and this night. That it doesn't matter if you will be there for Jesus or not. He will be there for you. And he always has. That's the love that he invites us to share. That love that is always there. That chooses this most humble manner of being there for one another. Knowing how broken we are and how deeply we are called to love one another no matter what. To get down on his knees and wash Judas's feet. Because Judas was worth it. And because Jesus could do that, because he had that much love. Even in the darkest night, he is there. Even in your darkest night, he has always been there. You might have been the one who wasn't there. As you hear the bells play, let your imagination go with that music. Imagine that in your darkest night, Christ has been there for you, kneeling at the feet of your brokenness, kneeling at the feet of your unworthiness, kneeling at the feet of everything in you that believes it won't happen, and serving you with perfect love. Always. Even in the darkest night. 2 days before the Passover. When Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart this earth and go back to God, having loved his own who were in this world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon the Iscariot, to betray him. And at supper, knowing that God had given all things into his hands, knowing that he had come from God and that he was returning to God, Jesus got up from the supper, laid aside his outer garment, and wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. When it came to Peter, Peter said, "Lord, would you wash my feet?" Jesus said, "You do not now understand what I am doing, but later you will understand it." Peter said, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus said, "Unless I wash you, you have no share in me." And Peter said, "Well then, not just my feet, but my head and hands also." Jesus said, "If you have bathed, you have no need to be washed, only your feet. You are completely clean. You all have been made clean, though not all of you." He knew who would betray him. That's why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When Jesus had finished and put on his robe and taken his place back at the table, he said, "Do you see what I've done for you? You call me Lord and teacher, and that's true. That's what I am. So if I, your master and teacher, have washed your feet, then you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do for one another. Truly, listen, a servant is not greater than the master. Messenger is not greater than the one who sent them. If you hear these things and know them and do them, blessed are you." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Loving God, in our sin you wash us clean, in our grief you bless us, in our weariness you restore us, in our shame you honor us. You pour out your Spirit upon us and make us your brimming vessels. Grant us your Spirit of love, O God, your life-giving Spirit of love.
Master, you say, you have served me.
If you wish to participate in this foot washing, I invite you. We'll simply have warm water poured over your feet and they will be dried. If you'd rather have it be your hands, you may. If you'd rather not, I invite you simply to pray for one another, that God will give us the Spirit to wash each other's feet and to imagine Jesus washing your feet. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you should love one another. This is how they will know you are my disciples, that you love one another." Holy One, you who are always present for me, I call to you. My prayer rises like incense before you. Beloved, keep watch over my mouth. Keep me from evil thoughts. Help me stay free from joining them in accusing. Let righteous people strike me. But may the wicked never anoint me with the acid of their praise. With the stones we would throw, we are always wounded. The whole warring world is divided and split. So we turn to you, O loving one. Keep me out of the trap of blaming and judging. The violent are entangled in their own nets. Gracious God, bless us always with the love of Christ, that we may follow his commandment and love as you have loved us. Amen. Thank you. sisters and brothers, beloved of God, as you have been loved so humbly, so deeply, love one another. Go in peace and serve God in joy. Amen.